Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.
Now it's time for Cam's Buddies. This week, we'll find out what they think about the astounding revelations regarding our education system and the huge numbers of kids failing mathematics. My producer has them all lined up and ready to go. Let's go now to Cam's Buddies. Welcome to Cam's Buddies, Miles. Good to have you back.
Hi, Cam. How are you today?
Oh, box of birds.
Excellent.
Topic for today, you may have seen on the weekend the National Party at their conference announced a new policy to do with education, mainly focusing around mathematics. They talked about where 22% of students at year eight were at the expected standard, meaning 78% weren't. Three out of five students at year eight were more than a year behind. 8% of kids at our lowest decile schools are at curriculum in maths at year eight, and 79% are more than a year behind. And for Maori, just 12% are at the curriculum in year eight, and 76% are more than a year behind. So the government said they're going to do something, and the Labor Party's upset because they don't agree with the 22%. They think it's 42% that are at the expected standard, which is, of course, 58% still failing. What are your thoughts on all of that?
Well, it's a big red button on my back, education. I think it's an appalling mess at the moment, and that's largely thanks to the Labor Party and their policies or lack of policies. I think the national plan looks good, but educational needs need to be met on many fronts. And before any of that can happen, kids have to be in class. And I don't know whether you can remember, Cam, the amount of truancy and absenteeism. Those levels were reported earlier in the year, and they were staggering, if you remember.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can't be at the required standard for mathematics or indeed any other subject if you don't go to school, right? Unless you're super bright and you can
teach
yourself.
That's exactly right.
There's bugger all people that are in the same league as me, is there? Or you, in fact.
Well, the problem that I see is if they don't fix the truancy and absenteeism, and that was largely ignored by the Labor government, if they don't fix that or try and do something with that alongside the curriculum announcements, then it doesn't matter what curriculum announcements you actually enact or get done, because the students aren't in classrooms, and if they're not in classrooms, they're not listening, they're not learning, they're not doing mathematics. So that would be my first big thing, is let's make sure that the educational initiatives announced are rounded and kids actually get into the classrooms.
I mean, it's a huge issue in truancy, but I mean, these are appalling statistics. Even if you take the generous read of the statistics by the Labor Party, where they say just 42% are at the required standard, meaning 58% are failing. That's an indictment on our union-protected education system that the Labor Party continues to protect the unions at. I mean, clearly, if you look at those statistics, the union system of education is failing. And yet whenever
unions,
we do something about it with charter schools or something, guess what? We get the Labor Party, the unions, and every other man and his dog who thinks they know how to teach children saying, oh, no, it can't be done. Well, what they're doing isn't working, so why don't they just shut up?
The unions have had the teaching profession by the throat for many years. And sad to say, the levels of achievement have been rising. Not at all. They haven't. And if they are not rising, what's happening? Oh, I'll tell you what, everything is protected by the union, so we can't make any initiatives, we can't make any changes. It seems to me that the union is actually intimately involved in the decline of the educational standards, and when I said a well-rounded approach, starting with truancy, I also think we need to actually look at what the unions and the union-protected curriculum is doing. For a start, I think there's only a precious few hours in the day that teachers are in front of students, and I want them to be doing mathematics, I want them to be doing English, I want them to be learning science. You know what I don't want them to be learning? I don't want them to be learning Te Reo, which is going to be useless in the real world. I actually think that if there is a place for Te Reo, it needs to be an option, and plenty of people will take that option. But I think science, I think mathematics, I think English, these are the skills we really need to focus on to bring them up to speed. Because without that, our education system is going to fail more than a generation of school children.
Well, I think it's already failing more than a generation of school children. If they've got to year eight and they're behind, then there's a good chance that every year subsequent, you know, behind them in year 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 are also behind. And then let's look at the year 9 students, 10 and 11, and have a look at them and see where are they placed. Because, you know, this hasn't just magically appeared out of nowhere. You don't go from you know, good past, you know, levels of competency in mathematics to just 22% having competency in mathematics, you know, in a New York minute. It doesn't happen instantly. It happens.
Exactly right.
How long has this been sliding for, and why hasn't anybody done anything about it?
Well, I think the answer lies in the control that the union has of the teaching market and any innovations. Look, let's be quite clear. Anything that the National Party suggests, good or bad, in fact, anything at all that they suggest in education, will be opposed by the unions. And that is nothing more than an ideological position. The unions are really demonstrating that they're past their use-by date, in my humble opinion.
Not fit for purpose. That's what.
In my humble opinion, that would be exactly right. So, therefore, we need to actually get a broom and sweep the floor clean and start again. And I have to take my hat off to Seymour and ACT. Charter schools proved their worth, and I mean, hell's bells. Let's actually get back to a system where the school is doing the basics right. And if the unions can't accept that, then the unions need to go.
Well, can't be soon enough for me. You know, you can't put the blame on anyone else other than the system, the education system, and all of the teachers that are in it. And I'm not attacking individual teachers, but I am attacking this predilection for Labor and the teacher unions to always say we've got a world-class education system. Well, the evidence is before us, and, you know, it's mathematics, so there's no grey areas. You're either right or you're wrong. And at 22% that are meeting standard, I'd say we don't have a world-class education system. And if they can show me evidence otherwise, I'm all ears. But right now I'm looking at abject failure for a generation at least, possibly more.
Decades of ideology. That's what I chalk it up to. And I think that needs to be broken. That pot needs to be dashed. And we need to look at an all-round system. And I think the charter school model has shown us that when ideology is gone, kids flourish.
And I think you're absolutely right on that, Miles. Well, I've got Lindley lined up following you, so I better go to her. Thanks for your call, and we'll talk again next week.
Goodbye, Cam. Have a good one.
Welcome to Cam's Buddies, Lindley. Good to have you back.
Hi, Cam. Yeah, it's good to be here, isn't it? Lovely and fine down here, except for the frosts.
Oh, well, you know, it's called winter. We get that every year.
I know, but I'm increasingly becoming a sissy.
Bit cold in the morning for your early morning runs or cycles or whatever it is you do early in the morning.
It is, yeah.
Well, I don't know if you saw on the weekend, the National Party announced that they were going to start to fix the teaching of mathematics, and they used some numbers. They said something like 22% of students in year eight were at the required standard for mathematics. So, you know, that's a large number that aren't, a very large number that aren't. And they've also said that 3 out of 5 students in year eight are more than a year behind. And the numbers are even worse for Maori, with just 12% at the curriculum level for year eight, and 76% are more than a year behind. Of course, the Labour Party come out and said, oh, those numbers are dodgy. You know, it's not 22% are at standard, it's 42%. Like, waha, it's better than it is. It's still 58% failing. So I'm interested in your thoughts on that. And do you think the problem is just in mathematics, or is it probably in other subjects as well?
Well, before I say what I think it is, what about this figure for your three from five that are behind in their curriculum? That equates to 50,000 kids. So there's 50,000, if you can imagine them standing in a football field, that can't do their maths.
Oh, it would fill
pretty horrifying.
It would fill Eden Park.
Absolutely horrifying. But, Christopher Luxon has really said most of the things that I believe myself, and I totally agree with him that this is an appalling total system failure. It's been coming on for many years, really. And he's absolutely right that progress needs to be assessed. See, they've taken away exams because that's naughty to make people accountable for their results, isn't it?
You can't have that.
No, exactly. So that's been taken away in the place of this NCAE business. But he's right. You can't address what you can't see. You've got to measure it. So I'm right behind them on all of that. And like many of their things, I appreciate that they've made a start, but to me it's never enough. But do you think he realises the entirety of his quoted total system? Because where does it start? Well, I've got the breadth of time on my side and I've seen it, and I think it started with the breakdown of the family unit. The parents or parent no longer taught the children to read, write and count before they started school. That's a privilege we all had. And the grandparents, of course, who often did that, they're far away in a rest home, aren't they? And the government's nanny state has taken responsibility for total education of the children while the parent or parents are at work.
It would appear they've done a poor job of it as well. You know, if the state ever does anything, they always do it badly, don't they?
They do it badly. And this is what's showing now. And in that time, you see, the discipline of children has been very much discouraged to the point where many are disruptive in the class. And they cannot be controlled. The teacher's not allowed to throw the blackboard duster at them anymore. And the kids, those kids see no value in schooling. And pretty soon they're not attending school. They're truant and roaming the streets like ferals. And those are the ones that are being lost, from being valuable citizens. I do think it's absolutely tragic. Chris Hipkins, of course, he was the Minister of Education, wasn't he? And he's blaming the previous national government, but he hasn't fixed this dire situation in 6 years. He's had a fair crack at it. Have you seen his New Zealand curriculum's vision for young people? That's worth reading. It's 156 words of fluff that covers everything bar academic education. It's got every bit of ideology in it you can imagine. Have you seen that?
Well, it's not. I wouldn't call it a vision. It's more myopic, actually, with a bad case of astigmatism.
It certainly is. But, you know, it's listed as a vision. It's just unbelievable, the rubbish in that 6 years that these people have put on their online websites, you know. I guess that's where quite a lot of the bureaucracy has been overemployed, I would think.
Labor's education spokesperson, Jan Tinetti, who is an ex-teachers union boss, was the Minister of Education in the last years of of the Ardern-Hipkins regime. She says she's angry that the government has used, in her terms, erroneous figures. And she prefers that 42% rather than 22% of kids in year eight are achieving at standard, without even a shred of sort of decency to understand that even that number shows that 58% of kids in year eight are failing mathematics.
Yeah, well, I'd go even further. She's dead right that they're erroneous figures. They'll be downright worse than what they have actually said. That's what I believe. Just unbelievable. And let's not forget when the teachers were surveyed 2 years ago and they couldn't answer the maths question of if you had seven flies and you needed a total of 10, how many more would you need? The teachers couldn't answer that themselves.
Well, I suppose you'd have to answer whether or not some of them are trans flies.
Well, I dare say they are. Gender benders.
Yeah, some of them that were identifying as flies. And then, you know, we can't really answer. See, in my book, maths is you're either right or you're wrong. You can't be almost right, you know.
No, you can't. But, I mean, they have lots of sort of puzzles with algebra and that sort of stuff, don't they? I think nowadays they sort of mark them for, even if they didn't get it right, they mark them for their process and trying to get it right. See, they've broken down education totally until it's just a joke. I don't know whether it's deliberate or not, but as more and more time is given to teaching kids, that they will either burn up with climate change or be drowned in sea rises, that they may be a cat or even an aberrated sex they've never heard of. And then there's less and less time to spend on worthwhile education and create self-esteem, because a lot of these kids are very anxious. I've seen three cases in the last week of kids who've climbed into their parents' car in the middle of the night, put their foot to the floor and sped along the road on the wrong side of the road, and two of those have killed people that they've banged into.
Mm.
And they've been chatting suicide with their friends, you know, online, and they've even carried their phone with them and photographed themselves driving along the road like that. And, of course, the inevitable's happened. They've killed somebody else. But, you know, these things shouldn't be going on in their minds.
Well, you know, I put it down to social media, actually, where you've got even adults who are sitting there getting absolutely every piece of their information about life from Facebook and X and TikTok and God knows what else. And they sit there doom scrolling through all of these things, and they get this perception that the world is this horrible, awful place. When in actual, the world's a beautiful, vibrant place, if only you take your head out of your phone and your ass and have a look around you and learn to enjoy yourself in the here and now, rather than fretting about the alarm, you know, bells that are ringing about climate change and wearing masks and all that sort of bollocks. And I think people just need to turn their phones off and start putting their head outside the door and going for a walk in the fresh air and finding out that life's actually wonderful and beautiful, if only you would have a care to take notice of it.
They do, and I think this action plan, they're actually taking their phones off them, aren't they, while they're in class anyway. That's a start.
Well, I mean,
But they do get addicted. They do get addicted to them.
They do get addicted to them. But, you know, again, National said we're going to, you know, stop using phones in schools, and all of these Karens out there in the Labor Party and the teaching and so on, this is terrible, this is awful, you know, what if they need to ring home? Well, I never had a cell phone when I was at school. I dare say you didn't either. In fact, you're probably damn lucky if you could use the school phone, which only had one line. We all managed to cope without having, you know, this micromanaging of their entire life via their cell phones. It's just ridiculous.
Well, it's part of the problem. I mean, the way that things have changed, that's what I say about Luxon. You know, does he really realise, he's saying it's an appalling total system, which we agree on, but does he realise how big that system is? Because it's huge. It's not like you and I were at school. you know, we had a life before we went to school, really, and it was good to go to school. A lot of them don't even want to go to school now. And I see them up in our town, and it doesn't matter what time of day you go into town, you'll stumble across some of them traipsing around the takeaway food places and that sort of thing. Shirts hanging out, you know, ties halfway around their necks, and just absolutely no values at all. Your lack of focus on life is really worrying.
I mean, there's always been a moral panic. I can remember when I was a kid, and the talk around parents and, you know, schools was the terrible advent of spacey machines and takeaway bars. You know, we were going up, putting 20 cents in and, you know, failing dismally at Galaxians or Space Invaders or you know, Pac-Man or something like that. And this was this moral panic. And now we seem to see all this moral panic about other things like, oh, vaping, you know, it's terrible they're vaping. And I always just say, well, would you rather they smoked?
Yeah. Well, heck, you know, I think I've seen a wee bit more of life than you, Cam, and I can go back to when if you went, or if I, being a female, went into a milk bar, I would be classified as a slut. And I didn't even know what that word meant, but I knew it was something not very good for a while. But no, they just traipse around the town now. But anyway, there's one other interesting thing which I have experienced myself in the middle of all this thing. The intro of computers and devices in line with maths. Once you get that, your brain knows where the answers are, and that's on the device.
Well, that's right.
It definitely affects your ability to do maths in your head because your brain has learned, no, I don't need to retrieve it from my head. It's on that screen and you just can't remember them. And, you know, I know somebody who had a career as a sales rep, and he could reel off maths in his head while he was stitching up a deal. Unbelievable. And that was only because he had to do it. He couldn't stop in the middle of a deal and get his calculator out, you know.
Well, you know, we were at school, and you're probably at school a little bit earlier than me, but we were taught our times tables and various other maths by rote. And we all know our tables, at least up to the 12 times tables. We know automatically what 12 times 12 is, or 11 times 12, or 10 times 9, or whatever. We know that inherently in our system. We retrieve it, it comes back, the answer's instantaneous, it's faster than any kid can do on a calculator, and yet we're told that that's not the way that we should learn. They need to have hugs.
No.
They need to have cuddles, you know, a sprinkling of unicorn farts, and then they'll learn, you know.
But you'll find if you take that device away from them, and you see all the tools, you know, if the young people get a job, you know, at the supermarket or something, even all the tools tell you, you know, how much change, that sort of thing. They're actually never having to work out maths at speed in their heads. So that's the only way you can learn to do that. I think that has a big effect as well. I think there's so many factors in this particular topic. You could go on forever about it, but the figures they've come up with are absolutely appalling.
Oh, they are appalling. They're an indictment on the system. They're an indictment on the union-controlled system. And really, you know, if the Labor Party or the teacher unions speak up and say something, we should actually just, you know, discount what they've got to say, or just, you know, put a filter on somehow so that all we ever hear is from them, you know, because that's about what what use their statements are.
Well, they're hopeless. And do they realise, this is the best that I could work it out, mind you, 246,000 unemployed under 24 years of age, and we know that that's not the real figure. That's only the figure of those who have actually registered and say they're looking for work. It doesn't count all the ones that are sitting on their butts doing nothing. These people we're talking about now, they're going to go out into that system and try and get a job. There'll be AI will be a lot more advanced then. There'll be less jobs still. And we've got, I mean, our factory jobs have all gone to China and Vietnam and Mexico and everywhere. So they can no longer just hop into a factory job. Do the teachers' union that are so clever, do they realise of those future outcomes for those kids?
I don't think they do, because those kids who are looking for jobs, we now know they can't count. And we also know that most of them don't know if they're Arthur or Martha.
That's right.
Anyway, I've got Paul waiting. So thanks for your contribution again this week, and we'll talk next week.
See you later.
Welcome to Cam's Buddies, Paul. Great to have you back.
Thank you. Great to be back.
I've got a real bit of a little conundrum for you, and I know you've got a bit of an interest in education. You would have seen over the weekend, or maybe not, you might have caught up with after you've got back from overseas, but the National Party's come out and said, we've got a problem in maths education. At year eight, only 22% of students are at the expected standard. Three out of five are more than a year behind. At our lowest schools, only 8% of kids are at the curriculum level maths for year eight, and 79% of them are more than a year behind. And for Maori, 12% are at the curriculum and 76% behind. Now, I know that you're on a couple of school boards, so I'm very interested to see what you think about this revelation and the possible solutions that we should have.
Well, it's what I find is very interesting is the things that are the root causes of this is absenteeism from school. And so, and we don't even measure it in a way that is readable or understandable. So we measure it in by saying, because I think in the last 3 years, our attendance stats have dropped from 70% down to a 40-something percent. But what they mean by that is 40% of kids attend school more than 90% of the time. And so you can't really get to the bottom of it unless you look at the actual numbers on there's a school dashboard, if you like, for schools. And so in primary school and then secondary school up to year eight, so if you're going to a primary and an intermediate school, sorry, up to year eight, those kids, if you look at where the band where they should be, in year seven, I think they should be at the beginning of level four, and at the end of year eight, they should be at the end of level four. Sorry, they should be starting level four in year seven. So year seven and eight, or form one and two, as we used to know it, they're quite tough years for kids. And if I tell you something and today's lesson builds tomorrow's lesson, and so you have to know today's lesson to be learning about tomorrow's lesson, and 60% of the kids aren't coming every day, they end up with gaps. And when they end up with gaps, the questions are often, like if you were to look up, there's a classic test. If you were born 5 years ago, how old are you? Or if you're 22 years now, is what they do to throw a red herring against. If you were born 5 years ago, how old are you now? And the answer's five. You're born 5 years ago, you're five. Well, listen to them. The number of people, like there's, I think there's 38 answers for that question that they've given, you can see on YouTube and all these sorts of stupid things, or Facebook or whatever. And what they're saying is they can't even get the English of the question. So many math questions are determined by how well you speak English. And so in the school that I'm on the board of, we've got a lot of people who are the ESOL kids, so that they don't have English as a first language. And as such, if you can ask them their question in their native tongue, they do way better. And so is the maths the failure, or is the English the failure? And you would see, another thing you can look up on the internet is kids are being asked, what's 3 times 7? They say 21. And someone says, what's 7 times 3? I don't know. You think, and these are kids that look like they're about 15. And you think, how could you not know that? Well, again, it's the way things are often phrased. And so if they learnt it one way and they don't realise that the opposite is the same thing. So, and there's a whole lot of tricks to maths that the teachers don't even learn. And so when the teachers don't learn the tricks to maths, they don't on-teach them. For example, you can ask anybody that's sort of related to me their 11 times table up to just about any number you like. And you say to them, what's 11 times 39? And the answer is 3. Add the 3 and the 9 together makes 12. So it's 429. And so, or if you go, what's 11 times 33? It's an easier one. So 11 times 33 is 363. So you add the two in together, and if you have to carry the one in your head, so be it. Well, our kids didn't get taught that. They get to learn right up to 12 times 11, and that's what it is. And a few schools were going up to 16. Very few went to 20 for rote learning. But that maths rote learning, or arithmetic as we used to call the easy parts of it, that holds you in good stead for a lot of your education in all sorts of things that you're doing. You know, like someone says to you, what's your wages? And you say, oh, I'm on $20 an hour. You can just halve it and say, oh, for a year, that probably puts you on a something like 47. You know, you double it and that puts you on. And so you get all these easy ways of doing things if you want to work things out. And so that, you know, 40 is 800 a week, 800 a week. Gives you 40,000 a year. So those are things that are easy for people to work out if they can just remember half and double. And so that there's lots of these tricks that you can get for everything. But our kids aren't even learning the basics, and it's because of truancy is my belief. My belief is the kids don't go to school every day. There's gaps in their learning, and when there's gaps in their learning, then this one subject builds on the next, or the previous, sorry, they'll struggle.
Oh, they certainly will. But does this point to a systemic problem in our education system? Every time somebody tries to do something to fix it, they actually make it worse. And whilst we've got truancy happening, that's a given. We're going to have poor outcomes for kids. But isn't the problem deeper than that as well, in that we've got an education system that we are told repeatedly by the teacher unions, the Labour Party, and anybody else who has an opinion on this, that we have a world-class education system. But the numbers I'm looking at suggest we don't, and that's a lie.
Mm. Well, they do say that we have got a world-class education system. It doesn't look like it to me, but on the school that I'm on the board of, I've really pushed for the basics, and I've really pushed for attendance. So if the attendance is low, we phone home, we contract the kids at the beginning of the year to make sure that they are written down contract that they're going to come to school every day, that they're not unwell, and so on. And then our teachers really love the kids and know them all individually. So we've got a decile, what was a decile one school, performing at 80% plus NZCA. And you look and you think, these kids are doing it. Now, I think we've got 3 European children at the school, and we've got 360 kids on the roll, and most of them are Maori, Pacifica, or there's a few from some of the Philippines or things like that. And you look and you think, these kids, most of them don't have English as a first language. But when you work with them and you study with them and you work on them, and we're having the Ministry of Education come in and say, oh, let's have a look, what are you guys doing that's different? And they want to know and they want to ask us some of the things, some of the strategies that we're using. But what they have done just recently, which I think it breaks my heart really, is they've said, oh, because your kids are now as successful as they are, they've cut our poor people funding. So we get less funding now based on our results So when the teachers work hard, because if you're a decile 10 school, you get way less funding than if you're a decile 1 school. But now that they've changed, there's no deciles, they're saying, depending on how well you do, so we're losing quite large amounts of money because our school, under the senior leadership team, have worked so hard, got the right teachers on board, and now that they're succeeding, they're cutting our funding.
That's us backwards. Now, in the business world, if you've got a sales team and you've got one person who's hitting budget, exceeding all, you know, selling more, and this is the Pareto principle where 80% of your sales are produced by 20% of your salespeople, which ones paid the most in the real world? It's the ones who achieve the most, right?
You would hope, yes.
So, you know, you wonder how the school system seems to think that the ones who achieve the most get the least. It's bizarre.
Well, it's bizarre. But also, if you add to that, the fact that the teachers are all, like, if you look at what they're being taught at a lot of these places, they're being taught a whole lot of woke ideology. And they're being taught that you've got to have quite a few rounds of polarization and how bad it is for our people and all these sorts of things, so that they're spending a lot of time learning things that aren't going to help them. Like our school just recently really kicked butt in the band competition that was run. They had the Battle of the Bands type thing that from all over the world happened in New Zealand, and it was hardly even getting a mention. And our school won a category. And you can't generalise, but what do a lot of Polynesian people do? Well, they sing well, they play instruments well, they dance well. If you can feed to the strengths of these people so they have some good successes, whoever they are, whatever group they are, they've got some raw talent that if you feed into that, they get successes. And then you, with those successes, move them over into the curriculum that we need so that they don't feel like that they're failing at a lot of things because they're succeeding at a lot of things. Success breeds success. And the next thing you know, the kids are doing well. Now, not all our kids do well in mathematics, but a heap do well in mathematics. Like way better than the national average.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's astonishing. And all power to you now, and that you're on the board of, Paul. You know, that's huge success. And what we need to do is actually start picking people's brains that are people like you rather than listening to the teacher unions.
What is also interesting is the kids come to your school. So our school here starts at year 9. The kids come with year 8 education. And some are at level 1 and level 2 of maths, and that's year 2 and 3. And very few are at level 5, which means they're above. And so we're taking kids, and what I've always said to our staff and our leadership team, we need to raise them more than a year's worth in a year. So if you're a level 2, well, you've got it tough, but I want you to be more than whatever you would normally do in a year. I want you to do more work than that in a year. And even though you're still below or well below, you have big ups and big praise in my book because you've achieved more than a year's worth of growth in a year. And we're trying to show them and show them and teach them how handy some of these skills are. And this is how you use maths elsewhere. This is what interest rates work like. This is what if someone says, how much do you pay for a week to buy a particular car on hire purchase? What does that mean full price compared to what? So we show them real world examples of how maths can work for them, how interest rates can work for them, and these sorts of things. And the kids kind of get it when you can relate it to something that they're interested in.
Well, especially if you can teach them the difference between margin and markup, because as soon as they understand
even that easy one, yeah.
Given that easy one, which so many people fail at, I always add to it when I'm teaching somebody that markup means you go broke, margin means you make profit.
Yes, exactly. And what's the difference between a third and a half in the same world, you know? If you've got a 50% margin then you're selling it for a 3 rather than a 2. If you've got a 50% markup, you're selling it for way less. You know, it's a quarter more or a third more. And so all these things people don't get unless they realise that, you know, you get 2 apples and you trade them for 3, or you get 3 apples and you add 1 more, making it 4, and you think, well, hang on, they're much different numbers. 3/4 of 4 is different than 2/3 of 3. And you're trying to say to people, look at the, it's so easy, it's so obvious, if you could just get your head around it, it's all good for you. And many of our young people are of a belief that they can't make it. And sometimes at the school that I'm at, we have problem children, and the principal might go and check out what's the story and call them in, and they haven't eaten any food for 4 days other than the lunch that's supplied them at school. But they didn't eat anything over the weekend because they're out of money. Well, these are things that are real issues in some of these lower value areas, or these people where there's poor people. But the kids have still got, like, they smile a lot, they got great brains, and we can teach them amazing things. And they don't have to be failing at maths.
No, as I said to Miles and to Lindley before, maths is either right or wrong. There's no middle ground on it. So if you can get them to get it right more than they get it wrong, then their life's going to improve significantly.
Mm. I heard recently that maths is a racist concept.
Oh, yes, it's terrible. Jack will be waiting. I'll be hear what he's got to say about the education system.
Okay, all good. Take care. Sorry if I've raved on.
All is gems of wisdom.
Thank you. Bye for now.
Welcome back to Cam's Buddies, Jack. Good to have you back.
Good, Cam.
So the topic this week is about education, and in particular, the abject failure of the school system to teach kids mathematics. The National Party has decided they're going to do something about it. They said that apparently only 22% of Year 8 students, well, kind of Form 2 in old school, are able to do mathematics at a sufficient level. So what are your thoughts on that, and what should we do to fix it?
Well, they can talk all they like, but this is not a new thing. I was educated in the late 50s and the mid-60s, and I can remember my father, who was in the RNZF, got posted to Singapore during the Malayan Emergency, and for 3 years, 56 through 58, I was educated in an English school run by the Royal Air Force. When I came back, I went into the same class that I'd left before I went away, and same people there, and I was light years ahead of them. It was so embarrassing that they took 2 more years to catch up. I was ducks of the school, and I won a scholarship to go to Nelson College. And really, it's only because all the other people were so dumb. Now, since then, we've dumbed down the situation to the point where the word failure has been taken out of, I don't know, the English language. No one's allowed to fail. I mean, in England, at age 11, you have to pass an exam called the 11 Plus. That determines whether you pass or fail, or can get to a grammar school or a secondary modern. Your life starts there. But over here, no, it's set on the standards of the lowest common denominator. Nobody must fail. And of course, that's why there's a lot of trouble in schools. The bright ones, you were telling me yesterday, how you were a bit of a larrikin at school because basically you were bored. Because all education now is positioned for the lowest common denominator. Unless we change that, we are stuffed. Now, I can remember during the 90s, I was asked by the education department, I think it was, to write the subjects for the NCEA examination for the photographic industry to get a certificate in digital imaging. And very nice, they kept flying me down to Wellington. God knows why, what a waste of money. I said, I don't need to be flown down there, but no, they insisted. But it was pretty good because it was ANZAC Airlines, and the hosties were so pretty and the food was so good. It was really good. Anyway, I kept writing these subjects, and then they were being vetted by a professor at Otago University, who kept saying to me, oh no, it's too hard. You need to sort of bring it down. No one, this is a guy who knew nothing about the subject I was writing on, I should add. He kept saying, oh no, you need to make it easier. I said, do you actually know the questions? Can you answer them? Oh, it's not my topic, he said. Anyway, I go on. It's quite depressing, really. I think the schools here catch up sort of later in, you know, high school, most of them, some of them. But in the early years where it all matters, nah, hopeless.
Well, you know, you touch on a couple of interesting points. I mean, when I was growing up, I was taught that coming second was first loser.
Excellent.
Right? So who wants to come second? It's not winning, is it? Now you've got all these people celebrating that they came second or third in the Olympics, and I'm thinking, if it's not gold, like, no one remembers who came
second. It's a bit harsh, but I understand where you're coming from.
It is a bit harsh, but
they do.
It's nice. You know, like, and then they'd say, oh, we're not going to keep score in, you know, for this game of football. And I said, well, you know, if winning wasn't.
I know.
If winning's not important, why do they keep score? You know, so.
I'll tell you, when I was a cricket coach at the Cornwall Cricket Club, and they told me, because I was a new coach, that they had to enjoy the game. So I sat them. All the kids down, and I said, okay, I've been told to tell you that you're to enjoy the game, and that's the only thing you need to know. And I then said, how do you think you're going to enjoy this game the best? And all the hands went up, and they said, by winning. I said, oh, good, great. Now we're on the same pathway. Let's go. And we won the Auckland Championship.
That's 100% correct. No one enjoys losing, right? It's like kissing.
No, people hate losing. Exactly. I don't know. I despair. Not only it's not just mathematics; it's English as well. When you've got people like Jack Tame, who really need to go off to learn the English language, when they conduct an interview, he says "yeah" 30 times in one short interview. Oh, I can't stand listening to him because of that. I even texted him and say, hey, can you just let the guy speak without interrupting? And if you do want to interrupt, can you use correct English? But I never got a reply, of course. You know, you have TV commercials that go next minute and everyone thinks this is really cool, this pidgin English.
And it's all rubbish, isn't it?
It is, in my opinion.
All right, Jack, that'll be enough for this week, and we'll talk again next week.
Hey, Cam. Bye.
Welcome to Cam's Buddies. Jimmy, good to have you back.
Thanks, Cam. Good to be here. What have you got for me this week, mate?
So this week, I think we'll have a little chat about education. You've got a couple of kids in the school system.
I do.
Did you see the National Party talking on the weekend about the problem in mathematics, where just 22% of school kids in Form 2 in old school or Year 8 can do maths. The, you know, 78% can't. And the numbers get worse if you're in low decile schools or Maori. What are your thoughts on that and what you think the government is doing about it?
Well, to be honest, it's quite frankly staggering that the statistics are so bad. I mean, they've just been in decline for so long. And then finally the government has talked about changing the way we learn and teach and measuring. And the left are howling about it. But they've had 20 years and it just hasn't worked. We have to change. It's the end of a country if you don't educate your population. You know, and imagine another 30 years. It's just no one in the whole country educated. It'd just be a disaster. So it's thank goodness they're actually doing something about it.
But if the stats are bad, they're going to be bad in English, aren't they, as well?
Well, my understanding is very bad across the board. It's terrible. Like, the open classroom policy has just been a terrible failure. The mixing kids of different age groups has just been more of a social policy. It's just not education. I mean, when I was at school in the late 80s and 90s, it was New Zealand was quite well placed educationally then, and education was really quite black and white, all the same age, the same, you know, quite structured learning. It clearly worked. I had no idea why they moved away from it. It's just a pattern of the West to go sort of down that woke sort of learning by feeling method.
But do you think it's with the actual system, meaning the people that are in it as well? Because, you know, we tried to bring in charter schools and the teacher unions cut up rough. The Labor Party then abolished. And they've presided over 6 years of these year eight students, right? So only the first 2 years of school that these students who are failing mathematics have been under any government other than Labor. Don't they hold some responsibility for the failure? And same with the teacher unions?
Yeah, I mean, just the unions, why would you not have performance pay? Why do these teachers want to have all this equal pay? I had teachers at high school that, horrendous teachers, that didn't even, they turn up to class and smoke. Like, they literally do nothing, and they get the same pay as the teachers who turn up really well prepared. It's insane. Why wouldn't you want schools chasing the best teachers? Why do they want everyone to be equal? Why?
Because they're communists.
It's mind-blowing. Well, that's what ultimately comes back to. They just want everyone to be equal all the time, but we're just not. And so we want to have some competition, and we want to have some schools better than others, and we want people to have a culture where they're trying to foster education for their kids. It's mind-blowing, this country. It's absolutely crazy. I just don't think the general public know how bad it is.
Well, I don't think they do. And you know, once you don't have any kids in the system or even grandkids in the system, you kind of stop caring. But I think it's critical. If you don't educate kids properly, well, it's going to make it very difficult in life for them later. It limits their choices.
Absolutely. And that's to an individual, but to a society, a whole country, you don't educate an entire generation or two, it's horrendous to your country. You know, imagine, you've got no educated New Zealanders. You know, you'd either be fully relying on immigration, which would completely change the culture of your country, or head towards a third world situation, which, you know, is on the cards.
Lindley put some numbers on this, said something like 50,000 kids are failing. 50,000. That's a full Eden Park.
Terrible, eh? When you say failing, does that mean that they just wouldn't pass the end of year test, or is it just they fail completely, like just can't do it at all?
Yeah, only 22% of those in year eight can meet the standard. Now,
of year eight.
I know that we can't talk about failing. I mean, not allowed to use, but in my book, if you're not meeting the standard, you're failing, right? That's the real life. That's what happens.
Yeah.
You can't go through life with only 22% of your workers meeting the standard. You know, imagine if that was actually teachers, right? Only 22% of teachers met the standard for teaching in the class. Right.
Well, I did hear something like that. The teachers didn't meet the NCAA qualifications for, was it mathematics? They're teaching kids and they can't do it themselves.
Exactly. You know, how can you get on if you're as dull as the children that you're supposed to be educating? It's dullards educating
because
dullards.
They're protected by the unions. It's always unions, eh?
I don't like to be anti-union because, you know, unions do have their place. There are some unfortunate people in life that need to have someone stick up for them. But by and large, unions cater
1930s coal miner.
Yeah. They cater to the lowest common denominator, and in this case it's a very low denominator.
Yeah, I just think that if you want to be a successful teacher in New Zealand, that you just can't, because you're just going to get measured by the low yardstick of your lazy colleague, and that's just not going to drive ambition, which is just passed on to children. It's just sad. I think Erica Stanford's doing a great job. I've heard her speaking a few times, and she's massively passionate about it. Sounds like she's taken on a lot of problems.
Well, she's going to
take dire for her.
And that's not going to end well, because that's what always happens. The teacher union gets stroppy, the National Party then gets cowardly, and then nothing much happens. But this has been going on for years. I mean, I can remember when I was in the fifth form, so it's quite some time ago, my teacher in fifth form maths was a guy who has had numerous awards in the decades that he was teaching. As a maths teacher, he's recognised as a world-class maths teacher. And in that year, in the fifth form, he would have attended class maybe 10% of the time. And the rest of the time, he sent a prefect along to tell us which chapter of the book we were going to be reading. and the quiz at the end of each chapter, and that's what we had to do for homework. And that's what his lessons were like too. So this is a guy who has had decades, 40 years plus, teaching mathematics, and he continued on to teach after I left school, you know, and he's still alive. I looked up his LinkedIn profile the other day, and he's still out there teaching mathematics. And I was thinking, wow.
Geez, he must be getting on.
Yeah. Well, he's got to be in his 70s now. But this is a guy who is recognized as one of the best maths teacher. My experience with him as
a teacher. Is that today he's still recognized or back then?
Still. You can look him up.
He's, oh, my God.
He's very famous. Competed in the Commonwealth Games. Wow. But my experience of him was lazy, indolent, and appalling. And as a consequence, I didn't do particularly well at maths because I never had a teacher that educated me in, or excited me about mathematics. That said, I had some fantastic English teachers and history teachers, and unsurprisingly, I scored in the 90% for those subjects because they excited me and taught me to enjoy those topics. Maths, not so much.
Yeah, well, look out, because I had terrible English teachers, but good mathematics teachers, so I was the opposite to you. So it really does have an effect on your life, eh?
Mm.
You know, people say school's nothing, but it does. It really shapes your beliefs, and it's super important, and we just don't have enough priority on it, and the Kiwi culture just doesn't seem to weigh heavy enough on education anymore, whereas we were, like, number one in the 1960s or 70s.
It's worldwide. Like... My friend has become funny, you know, it's near enough. Oh, that'll do. You know, maths is either right or wrong. There's no middle ground on here. But if they gave it a good go and they showed us they're working, even though they got it wrong, oh, we'll give them marks for that. We're now reaping what we've sown.
Yeah, but it's right across. It's like even getting rid of winners and losers in school competitions. It's just accepting media currently. Oh, we've got to get rid of the communists, mate. We need to battle the communists, you know.
Yeah.
This desire to make people equal is insane. Just going to end up with this mediocre country, but at least we'll be equal.
Yeah. All right, Jim, thanks for calling in to Camp Studies again. We'll talk again next week and try and solve some more problems.
We always end up talking about communists, Cam. But thanks, mate. Talk next week.
Hey, mate. See you. Bye. It's always interesting to see what the person on the street thinks, and today was no different. Clearly, the system has failed. My buddies know it, you know it, but it seems the only people who don't know it or don't want to know it are the Labour Party and the teacher unions. Tell us your thoughts on this topic by emailing inbox@realitycheck.radio or text to 2057.
Thanks for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. Do you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to? Either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We'd love to hear from you, so connect with us today.